Greetings, friends, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Well, this morning we're going to be looking to get some wisdom and some encouragement from the Psalms. We're going to be reading Psalm 33 today. I'm going to share a devotional with you that I wrote over the weekend. Some of you may have already read it as I sent it through Facebook and the email list. And we're also going to be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We started the book of Ecclesiastes last week, the writings of Solomon. The book is called the Ecclesiastes or the Preacher. And we'll talk more about that here in just a minute. So let's begin by reading Psalm 33, and then we'll move on to Ecclesiastes. We'll be reading from the King James Bible this morning, and I pray that the words speak to your heart. Let's begin. Verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the deep, he layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Well, there is Psalm 33. And first thing that jumps out to me is this verse 12, which says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And I was just thinking about the United States, how you used to, it could very easily be said that our God was the Lord, right? Our God was the one true God. But you look at the United States now, and that's not the case. But you look at the condition of the United States, and it is on a vehicle that's already driven off the cliff and is just heading for pavement down below. And then I was also looking at this other verse, and this is the one that jumped out at me yesterday morning, and I wrote a little devotional for it, so I'm going to read that to you. Let me start by reading the verse again, verses 18 through 22. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Here's what I wrote. Why should I put my hope in the world? Will the world show me mercy? Will the world suddenly be generous, kind, and void of wickedness? I should only hope in the one who is truly good, truly kind, truly generous, and whose mercies are new every morning. I shall hope in the Lord. I shall hope in him and fear him only. While the world can destroy my body and can bring my life to ruin, it is only the Lord who can cast my soul into hell, as I most certainly deserve. It is only the Lord who can grant me eternity, who can give me life. I shall not put my hope in the world, nor shall I fear the world. All my hope, all my fear belongs to the Lord and to his Son, Jesus Christ. God has shown me mercy when I deserve great judgment. He has shown me kindness and patience when I deserve anger and wrath. The Lord is slow to anger and quick to forgive. I hide under his wings when I am scared, and I bow low to him when I have sinned. There is no one kind, there is no one good, there is no one merciful except him. I trust in the Lord and I cast all my hope on him. I put my future and my family's future in his hands. This world is hastily dying and headed for destruction. Yet there is a future. There is mercy for those who fear the Lord and hope in him and him alone. The world is nothing but vanity and empty experiences. True joy only comes from above. I hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoyed that little devotional that I wrote yesterday, thinking about, you know, just thinking about all the things I wrote about, especially in light of those verses from the Psalms. Well, all right, let's move on. We need to read chapter 2 from the book of Ecclesiastes. Again, Ecclesiastes written by the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, the son of David. And in the first chapter, he's dealing with, you know, talking about how the world is emptiness, how it's all vanity, how there's nothing new under the sun, and all these pleasures, they don't really lead to anything good. And he's going to be continuing that theme here in chapter 2. Before I start it, let me read a little bit of commentary from Matthew Henry to kind of set the stage. Here's what Matthew Henry says about the very beginning of this chapter here. He says, Solomon soon found mirth and pleasure to be vanity. What does noisy, flashy mirth towards making a man happy? The manifold devices of a man's heart to get satisfaction from the world, and their changing from one to another, are like the relentlessness of a man in fever. Perceiving it was folly to give himself to wine, he next tried the costly amusements of the princes. The poor, when they read such a description, are ready to feel discontent, but the remedy against all such feelings is in the estimate of it all by the owner himself. All was vanity and vexation of spirit. The same thing would yield the same results to us as to Solomon. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So Solomon's talking about how he has all these luxuries, right? But it's all vanity. It hasn't brought him any joy, any happiness. And Matthew Henry's saying, you know, if you have food and clothing, let us therewith be content. He goes on to say, his wisdom remained with him, a strong understanding with great human knowledge. But every earthly pleasure, when unconnected with bitter blessing, leaves the mind as eager and unsatisfied as before. Happiness arises not from the situation in which we are placed. It is only through Jesus Christ that the final blessedness can be attained. So let's read chapter 2 in the book of Ecclesiastes, a continuation of the proof that worldly things do not bring happiness or satisfaction. Verse 1. I said in my heart, Go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, It is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my own heart to give myself into wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, and planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees, and in them all kinds of fruits, and made me pools of water to water therewith, the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and all of the sorts, and all of that of all sorts. So I was great, and I increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned to myself, and behold, wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then I said in my heart, As it happeneth to a fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, This also is vanity. There is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that was wrought under the sun is grievous unto me for all its vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherewith when I have labored. And wherein I have showed myself wiser under the sun, this is also vanity. Real quick, he's just pointing out, he's like, you know, I do all this work, accumulated all these things, all this wealth, but I'm going to die just like, you know, a wise man dies just like a foolish man, and all this stuff that I've labored for is just going to be left to the next person. You know, he's saying it's all emptiness. It's all emptiness. It's all vanity. Verse 20. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath a man of all his labor and the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrow, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, and who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up. that he may give to him that is good before God. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. And that is the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and it almost appears like Solomon just thinks it's all garbage, doesn't he? You know, the wisest man that ever lived. He's also a man who went without, who didn't go without any form of pleasure. He had every bit of wisdom. He had every bit of money and power, and, you know, he had it all. There was nothing, he even says it, there was nothing that my eyes saw that I didn't indulge in, that I didn't have. And yet, he was miserable. And yet, he said it was all emptiness, it was all worthless. The only thing that mattered was the things given from above. Let me read just a little bit more commentary to wrap it up from Matthew Henry on that last part. Here's what he says. He says, our hearts are very loath to quit their expectations of great things from the creature. But Solomon came to this at length. The world is a vale of tears, even to those who have much of it. See what fools they are who make themselves drudges of the world, which affords a man nothing better than the substances for the body. And the utmost he can attain in this respect is to allow himself a sober, cheerful use thereof according to his rank and condition. But we must enjoy good in our labor. We must use those things to make us diligent and cheerful in worldly business. And this is the gift of God. Riches are a blessing or a curse to a man, according as he has or has not a heart to make good use of them. Did you catch that line? This is great wisdom from Matthew Henry. Let me read that again. He says, and this is the gift of God. Riches are a blessing or a curse to a man, according as he has or has not a heart to make good use of them. So if you have riches, it can be a curse or it can be a blessing, depending on what your heart is. If your heart is to make good use of that, then it's a blessing. If your heart is to be stingy and cling to your things and your wealth and to think that that's going to bring you happiness and all that, it'll be a curse. Let me finish what he says. To those that are accepted of the Lord, he gives joy and satisfaction in the knowledge and love of him. That's where the joy comes from. As Matthew Henry is pointing out here, the joy comes from the knowledge and love of God, not from the things of this world. That's why you see poor people, but they have this. But those who are lacking of things of this world, yet they have lots of the Lord, are joyful. But to the sinner, he allots labor, sorrow, vanity, and vexation in seeking a worldly portion, which afterwards comes into bitter hands. That's the point that Solomon was making. I'm going to accumulate all this stuff, but I'm going to die, and it's going to get handed down to somebody else. Let the sinner seriously consider his latter end, to seek a lasting portion in the love of Christ, and in the blessing it bestows, is the only way to true and satisfying enjoyment, even of this present world. Well, there you have it, my friends. That is the podcast for this morning, and I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you found it moving and that it pierced your hearts and that it causes you to draw closer to him and that it gave you a little wisdom, that you're wiser now than you were before you started this broadcast. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.